UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And if it was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago.
71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you all doing? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Now this is a message to anyone that has emailed me with their encounter and believe you didn't get a reply from me. There is a good chance that my follow-up email to you has ended up in your spam folder. This seems to be a problem with Gmail and I have about over 200 emails from listeners outstanding. So if this is you, please reach out again, either by email, social media, or the guest form below, and we will get your account told. Tonight, we are in the Redwoods of California to meet Indy, and Indy's account began a few months after suffering the loss of his father. He had a dream where his father appeared to him and told him there is no death. The next day, Indy had an extraordinary experience which seemed to confirm his father's visit to him in his dream. Indy is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
It's nice to have you join us today, and you're calling from California.
Yes, I am. I'm happy to be here, man.
Now, Indy, you have a few experiences you're going to be sharing with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Hey, thank you, Nick. So yeah, I'm Indy Riggs. I live in Northern California. Grew up here, you know, my entire life. And I have not really a traditional, you know, UFO type story. So my story, I guess, really started, well, we'll start at the beginning with it. Yeah. So 2019, my father passed away. He was 71. He lived a good long life. 71's a great age, you know, but still too soon. It was unexpected. And yeah, this came out of nowhere. So, you know, after he passed away, my wife and I actually, we found him and he died right here on this property that I live on. It was his land. It was where my boyhood home. We now, you know, live in his house. Been almost 5 years, 5 years this month, exactly, actually. And so his passing was a pretty big hit for me emotionally, and obviously as it would be for anybody that loses their father or, you know, loved one. his passing was the third pretty close loss in our family in like this little short time period, all unexpected and sudden, beginning with my sister. And my sister left behind her daughter, my niece, and she was a diabetic. And she kind of, you know, gave up on life after her mom, my sister, passed. And she died about 5 years later from complications of diabetes. And then my dad, you know, just a couple years after her. So, you know, three sudden, you know, traumatic deaths. So his death left me in quite a state of grief. I would, you know, literally wake up every morning after and think, wow, was this all a dream? Did I dream this? Is he really gone? And, you know, reality would hit me upon waking. No, this was not a dream. This is reality. And I would literally, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, I'd cry pretty much every morning. And that lasted a good solid, like, couple months at least, until one day or one night, I finally had quite a vivid dream. And in this dream, I was with my wife and my two children, and we were on a vacation in San Francisco, crossing the road from our favorite bookstore, City Lights Bookstore, and we were going to our favorite restaurant, which is a Sicilian place. It's called Cafe Sport. And I'm looking back behind me to make sure my kids made it through the crosswalk safely. And I see my wife, and then I see my daughter, and then my son. But right behind my son, I see my father. And his hair is blown in the wind, and he looks great. But it stops me in my tracks. And I just stop and look at him, and I'm like, Dad, what the heck are you doing here? You just died. How are you here? And he just walks right up to me, and he puts both of his hands on my shoulders, and he looks at me in my eyes, and he smiles, and he says, "No, Indy, no, my son, there is no death. There is no death." So I repeat that to him, and he keeps smiling. He just shakes his head no. And I'm like, there is no death. And then I wake up, right? And of course, you know, I'm a logical, rational person. You know, I never had any kind of experiences, you know, or anything like that before. I never had a dream with my sister. I never had a dream with my niece. And then I have this dream with my dad. And I chalk it up to my brain trying to make me feel better because of the grief. So I'm like, it was my brain, you know, it's trying to make me feel better because of my grieving. And so I go about my morning, get ready for the day, and go outside to work on this little patch of garden I had put in this area on the property, not far from where he died, that had gotten overrun with blackberry brambles and had been a spot that my father, myself, and my brother had cleared one time, but then we let it grow back in with brambles. So I had cleared it again with a friend. Just a few days prior, or a couple weeks prior, actually, and had started cultivating it and planted a few fruit trees. And that morning I went out to work on a row for strawberries. And so when you plant strawberries, if you properly do it, you mound up a nice long row, which you would cover with like barrier cloth, and then plant the strawberries in. So I was mounding up this row and taking scoops of earth and tossing it on the road to mound it up. And I'm reflecting back on the first time I remember digging in the dirt. We had actually just moved to California. We've lived a lot of places. We had just moved to California, and I was maybe about 5 years old. And I was digging in our backyard, and I found this cobalt blue glass, obviously glass marble, and I picked it up, and I'm like, first thing I think is, oh, Dad's favorite color is blue. And so I run inside, and I'm like, Dad, I found you a lucky blue marble. And so he takes it, he's like, it is a lucky marble, thank you. And he puts it in his key pocket, And he kept it his entire life. I actually have it. I can see it right over there right now. So I still have that marble. So the moment I'm thinking of this marble and that memory, I take my next scoop of earth and I throw it on top of the mound for the strawberries. And what lands on top? A cobalt blue glass marble. So I drop my shovel. I pick up the marble and I raise it up to the sky and I say, I get it, Dad. I get it. There is no death. There is no death. And so now I have two cobalt blue marbles that look just the same. So after that experience, now remember that event happened the very morning after I had that dream where he told me there is no death. I started having more dreams with my father, all sorts of different dreams where one of them was, you know, a dream where I was with my brother and, you know, and I'd said something about dad dying. And then all of a sudden, you know, my dad appears in the dream and he says, Indy, I told you there is no death. Ah, that's right. There is no death. Okay. And then he like disappears from the dream and I'm back there with just me and my brother. And I said it again. I'm like, when Dad was alive, before he died, you know, we were like talking, we were like trying to defend this village and build fortifications. And I'm like, Dad had the fortifications like this before he died. And then boom, he popped in the dream again. He's like, dude, I just told you, there is no death. And I'm like, oh, and I snapped too. I'm like a lucid state. And I realized I'm in a dream. I'm like, oh, this is a dream. And I'm like, oh, Dad, that's right. Okay, yes, there is no death. I know. I guess I just miss you. I just miss your hugs. He gave really good hugs. And so he slaps his chest and he looks at me. He's like, dude, I'm right here. Give me a hug. And I'm like, wait, what? And I'm like, I could give him a hug in my dream. And so we embraced and it was, you know, the realest hug I've ever had. And you know, so that was another dream. There was another dream where, you know, I'm riding with him in the car and we're just driving. I don't know where we're going. And then we're just riding along. The radio's on. And then I realized, you're in a dream with Dad. And I had told myself, because I had had other ones, I'm like, if I come to a lucid state again with Dad in the dream, and if it's really him, ask him something like important. Ask him like, you know, there's all sorts of questions you wanted to ask that you thought of after he died. Pick one of those. And so I start spouting off. I came to a lucid state and I'm like, oh, I'm in a dream right in the car. He's like, yeah, I don't have much time, Indy. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm like saying all these questions and I'm like, oh, dude, ask him something deep, Indy. Like ask him something real, like good. And so I'm like, Dad, what is the meaning to life? What is the meaning to all this? And he just looks over at me and he smiles and he says, well, Indy, what do you want the meaning of life to be? Kind of like a mic drop moment. Like, what do you want the meaning of life to be? That's the meaning of life to you. And so these dreams continued. Now, this one is where it gets a little strange. So I'm living in his home now. And I had a dream. I'm in the bedroom, my bedroom, which was his. And I'm looking out the window and I see coming from the north, like this triangular looking craft way up in the sky. And it's blazing a trail towards me. And behind it, it's leaving this like rip in the clear blue sky. And the rip is lined with fire. And through the rip, I could see like outer space, you know, like stars and nebulas in the black space. And the whole time I can hear and I can feel this pulsing vibration. It sounded like vroom, vroom, vroom. And I could feel it like through my body, all around me. And I could hear it too. Not only feel it, but hear it as well. And just a steady pulsing vibration. And I'm just bewildered. I'm like, what is going on here? And then suddenly I see another ship coming from the south. And this ship is also triangular shape, but like gleaming white. And behind it is just a white beam of light, like as far as the eye can see. And it seems like it's heading straight off to head off that other ship. And mind you, I'm still feeling this pulsing vibration. And I'm thinking in my head, like, what are they doing? I'm like, what is going on here? Are they terraforming the Earth? Are they, this is like some sort of geoengineering operation? Like all these crazy thoughts, right? And they're just getting closer and closer. And I'm like, oh, they're going to hit. And then I look behind me, and right over my right shoulder was my dad. And I'm like, Dad, you're here. Is this real? And he just looks at me and he nods his head and smiles. Yes. Yes. So and then I wake up after that. Now that dream, I don't know really what the relevance was exactly with this. If it was just like a coincidence, or I think there's something deeper with it. But that dream was on the autumnal equinox. So equal parts of day and night, 12 and 12, right? Okay, so after that dream, start having, you know, a few more like UFO dreams. One where there was a UFO that, I live right on the river, and a craft came out of a cloud and shot to the river and sucked up a bunch of water and then shot back in the cloud, all pretty rapid-like, right? All this, you know, these dreams, after that, specifically these dreams with the craft, I started seeing some strange lights in the sky. Okay. Sure. Like I know what a satellite looks like. I know what an airplane looks like. I even downloaded, you know, these apps to make sure. Eventually I downloaded them. At first I didn't, you know, cause I just didn't even think about it. Again, I'd never touched the subject before. So it seemed like, you know, some of these would like respond to what I'm thinking. So the first one I had seen, you know, it had kind of like passed me overhead as I'm picking a salad out in the garden, and it was like just getting like dark. And I'm like, what is that? It's like, did it just stop and go? And then as I would think that, it would stop and go. And I would think, oh, it's going fast and slow. And then it would go fast and slow. Okay. So this started being a pretty common occurrence. And I've taken lots and lots. I probably have like at least 100 different videos. And my kids would see them with me. And then I finally eventually downloaded those apps like ISS Tracker, Satellite Tracker, Plane Tracker apps, just to cross-reference. Nothing would ever show up on those apps in these times I would see them. So these lights, they would not only, they would just be like a steady light, they would also like be the steady light that just, and then just increase greatly in brightness, like brilliantly bright, and then just diminish and then just disappear. And so they don't have like satellites or craft or anything to do that. And I've also seen them where they'll go behind a tree, and then after they come back out, there's three of them, you know, together, right? And so all this culminated finally one night, man, and this would have been like April 29th of 2022, just about 10 p.m. And this is something I reported to MUFON. It was that intense for me. So my dog and I, we go out every night. I have a farm. I live in a farm. And I got, you know, nightly chores to do before I go to bed, like lock up the chickens and deal with my greenhouses and shut and lock my gate out on the road. So my dog was with me. I've got an Irish wolfhound. He's freaking awesome. He's like my best friend. His name is Barbas. And so Barbas and I, we're going out to the chicken coop, which is out front towards the gate. And as I'm going to shut the chicken coop door, Barbas sneaks in there real quick, and he likes chicken food, so he's like looking for chicken food to eat, but he's getting his paws all muddy with and dirty with chicken poop. And so I'm like, Barbas, get out of there, and get irritated with him. He's not listening to me. And finally get him out, and, you know, I'm muttering under my breath and shut the chicken coop door. And him and I start walking back from the chicken coop back towards the house. To get back there, we pass my father's shrine. And so I put a shrine up, and I call it my father's shrine because I put it in the place where we found his body, in the very spot he died. So I'm passing his shrine. I'm still a little irritated with my dog. And, you know, I just hear a voice in my head, you know, whether it was his voice or my voice, I hear the voice in my head that says, dude, calm down. It's not that big of a deal. Take a deep breath and chill out. So I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's what I need to do. And so I just stop and I place my hand on the shrine. I close my eyes. I take a couple deep breaths. And then I open my eyes up and I'm looking maybe 45 degrees in the sky. And I, you know, I immediately see a star I know well, Arcturus, which is in the Epsilon Botus constellation. And it's a pretty bright star. It's kind of got an orangish hue. And next to it, just a very little ways off, is an even brighter and bigger body, celestial body, but more of like a whitish, maybe whitish, bluish light. And I'm like, what is that? What? I don't think that's Jupiter. That's the wrong time for Jupiter. Jupiter's not there in the sky, because I watch the sky quite often. Not only did I download all those tracker apps, I also downloaded, you know, constellation apps. I'm like, if I'm going to be watching the sky, I might as well familiarize myself with the planets and stars and constellations and moon and everything. So I reach for my phone in my back pocket, and it's not there. So I'm like, I left my phone inside the house. And all of a sudden, at that moment, when I realize I left my phone inside, vroom, 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 I start feeling and hearing that same vibration from my dream that I had on the autumnal equinox, what, like 6 months before. And I can feel these pulsing waves washing over me and through me. I feel it in my body. I feel it all around me. I hear this sound, and it feels like the atmosphere just got extremely thick around me, like I was moving through water or jello, and I'm entranced. And I can't stop watching this thing and feeling this vibration. And I notice that with each pulse of this vibration, as it goes boom, boom, the object in the sky starts flashing this red light out of the top right of it. Okay, with each pulse, red light, red light. I don't know what to make of it. I'm just bewildered. And again, like I said, I'm like entranced and feel like I'm moving through thick, thick water or thick, thick air. And the vibration just still just pulsating throughout my body, my entire being. Suddenly, at some point in time, as I'm just staring at this, not able to get my eyes off of it, it starts shooting out these blue, like static electrical sparks from like the bottom left of it, where the light was on the top, the red light was on the top right, these sparks were on the bottom left. And you could hear it. It sounded like, I don't know if you guys have ever heard a Tesla coil, but it's kind of like a just a static electrical sound with the sparks, you know, like blue lightning looking sparks. And so at this point, I'm almost freaking out. I start to lose my vision. So like around the edges of my vision, it just starts to getting black and like closing in and closing in. And until I just have a tunnel of vision left. And I just think in my head, Indy, dude, you're about to pass out. You're about to faint. And I've never fainted before. I've gotten close one time when I got bit by a dog and I was like spurting blood because of blood loss. But it was the same feeling. And my vision's just closing and closing and closing in. And then I hear this voice again in my head. Call your dog. Call your dog. And so I'm like, yeah, call my dog. And so I finally break eye contact with this object. And I look around. And I can't see my dog. And I'm actually a good 150 to 200 feet away from my father's shrine where I started seeing this object. And that was where my dog was still. He's at my shrine about 150 to 200 feet away, just looking at me, like frozen in place, like a pointer dog. And he's an Irish wolfhound, right? It's a massive sized dog. And he's just staring at me, like not moving. And I see him and I yell, Barbas, Barbas, come. And he breaks his stance and bolts towards me. And he gets to me quick. And as soon as I place my hand on him, my tunnel vision, my vision cleared. The blackness went away. And I no longer felt fear. The fear completely left me. And I was just left with amazement. Like, holy smokes. This really just happened. This is happening. This is happening now. And I could still hear the sparks. So I look back up. And it's still sparking. And now it's starting to grow bigger, this ball of light, getting more like oblong until it just splits in two, like a cell performing mitosis. And there are two orbs there now, two lights. And they just were hovering right above my head. So I had moved closer to them somehow, maybe unconsciously. I don't know what happened during that pulsing vibration time, but they were now right above my head, both of these orbs. And again, I'm just amazed and like I can't in awe of what's happening. And they're hovering above me, and then one just slowly starts to float off to the south, and one starts to fly off to the north. Okay, the one to the south started going faster. The northern one was going a little bit slower. And as I'm seeing the one to the south go faster, it's getting close to a mountain range. And I think in my head, wow, this thing's about to disappear. And then it all of a sudden does disappear and then reappear right above my head again. And then it starts following the path of the northerly object. Okay. So at this point I'm like, oh man, I need to run inside and get my family out here. Cause I try to grab them anytime I see something. And so I'm just hoping I could get them out. But by the time I got inside, and it's a good ways off, you know, to run all the way back to the house, you know, again, it's on a piece of property, and I get the family out, but by the time they come out, you know, it's gone. So, you know, I don't know what really happened with that night or what those objects were telling me, but it was pretty reminiscent kind of that dream. Not only did I feel that same vibrating pulse all through my body and all around me, the very same one from the dream, but it was sort of representative, I think, in a way, like how the two ships in the dream were like coming together. And in this one, in the real life episode that I just experienced, they came apart and flew in those same directions. So what that, I guess, represents to me is two halves, you know, that make a whole. There's a whole, you know, you can get into all sorts of these like spiritual principles and universal laws. You know, polarities, positive and negative, night and dark, male and female. And again, with the dream being on like the autumnal equinox, there's something there. And there's something there in connection with my father's passing and with him telling me there is no death. You know, I truly believe that there is something within us as human beings that does not die, that goes on to somewhere else, and that has some connection with perhaps not all the phenomena people deal with. Like, I would never try to discredit somebody and their experiences, but I do believe that there is part of the phenomena, at least, that is connected to our consciousness, and that is connected perhaps even to, you know, what happens when we die. Whether these are, it's an interdimensional thing, an energetic thing, just something that obviously we do not understand, or can we hardly even wrap our minds around it.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
So there's like a lot to consider there. There's things like the human being can only see, I think, 0.03 of the entire light spectrum. So that just lets you know there's a world around us that's always been there and always is there. It's just we can't see it. And so what types of things can open our eyes to that, you know, are maybe catalytic experiences, you know, like grief, trauma, things along those lines. Things that happen in the dream state. And just touching on that as well, I wasn't the only one in my household that was having these dreams. You know, my wife immediately started having dreams, and my father as well. My two children, they also started having dreams with my dad, you know, and he was a pretty spiritual, not religious, but a spiritual person. And somebody of just amazing character and integrity too. Like, his honor was impeccable. So all these experiences together that we've all had, and just how they coincided with my father's passing, there's a story there to be told. And in my opinion, it's a story of hope. It's a story of substance, and that can, you know, that can help guide people either through their own journeys of grief, or even through this. I've learned of folks like Jacques Vallée, Diana Pasulka. These are people who I looked to when I'm exploring the phenomenon, because it resonates with my own personal experience. Again, not to like negate or dispute anybody else's experiences with actual like physical craft or beings, you know, like that just wasn't my experience. So I look for sources that resonate with me. And so, yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's my experience. And, you know, these dreams and, you know, these lights, you know, I still see to this day. And, you know, reason I think it has compelled me to, that's why I'm here speaking about it. You know, I do believe that this message was something not for me to hold on to and just keep to myself, but to share it. And yes, it was difficult, to come to the conclusion to come out in the open and publicly talk about it, because I learned that there are people out there that they want to discredit you, and they want to make people look like a fool, and they want people to think this phenomenon is something that it may not be. They want people to think that it's a threat. They want to maybe militarize it in some way and not even address the spiritual aspect that could be happening with a lot of folks and their experiences, a lot of people like myself. And that's why, you know, I felt the courage. I've gotten the courage from other folks that I look up to extremely, like Christopher Bledsoe and his experience, the experience he's had and shared with his family. And I'm really happy that he has found you know, a way to share his message, where people can no longer discredit him. And that's given me the courage to come forward and speak about this, because I'm a public person. I'm active in my community. I'm not afraid to stand up and use my voice, but I feel supported and loved by my community. And I know that even if stuff does come out, you know, about this, I will continue to have that love and support. And as much as I've started to share this individually with people, I've gotten such a good reaction from them. And that's also given me courage. And it's encouraged me to continue on that path and talk with folks like you, Nick, and anybody willing to listen that I can sense is not there to make a mockery of what people have gone through. And most of all, the spiritual kind of connected aspect of it all. I have like no doubt at all that this is all connected. Consciousness, life, death, the afterlife, what happens when we die, and this phenomenon. It's without a doubt all connected. Again, why is this happening to me? Perhaps, you know, yes, I had this catalytic moment dealing with grief and trauma from my father, his passing, and then the deaths that preceded those, my sister and niece, right? But after this had all started happening, I started reflecting more on my past history and some of my earliest memories. And one of those was a memory where, gosh, it was, again, I was probably about 5 years old, but the similar time frame is when I found that first blue marble, which I actually just put that together right now. So around that same time frame, my dad had taken my brother and I to a river up here, Trinity River. It's a pretty wild river. It's kind of dangerous. Neither one of us knew how to swim, my brother and I. And he's hanging out with his friends. His friends came along. He's on the river bar bank, and my brother and I are playing around in the water, and I get caught in a current, and I get swept down river and up against a rock and then sucked under the rock, right? And so I'm under the rock, sucked down under there, thinking, I don't know how to swim. I might die. And trying to picture where my dad is. And I could actually, it seemed like I had what sounds like maybe an out-of-body experience, right? Where I was able to leave my body, see myself under the rock, and see my dad on the riverbank hanging out with his friends. I don't know if they were smoking, drinking a beer, something like that, you know? And I'm just thinking in my head, Dad, come and save me. Come and save me, right? And then I flash back and I see my mom and my sisters, who are in Chicago at the time, and they hop on a plane and they fly all the way back home for my funeral because I died. And they're walking inside the house, just crying their eyes out. Indy died, right? And I'm just like, no, that can't happen. And I hear, I just get this, whether it's a voice I heard or I just got the gumption, and it's something like, start climbing up that rock. Climb, grab a hold and climb up the rock. So I'm stuck under this rock and I just reach up and I find a handle hold and I just start pulling myself up. Handle hold, foothold, and finally I break the surface, gasping for air, and I claw my way up to the top of the rock where I can get out of the water. And as I do, I look back, and my dad's swimming towards me, and he just says, ah, Indy, I knew you had it. So that day as well, like, I found this gigantic pine cone. And I've kept that gigantic pine cone with me like my whole entire life. It's like the only thing. I'm 42 now, so that was 37 years ago. It's like my oldest possession. You know, we had a lot of crazy trauma. And as children, my dad was pretty well put together, but my mom at that time was not. So, you know, we've lost a lot, like every possession we had. through, you know, really crappy circumstances. But I managed somehow to keep a hold of this pine cone. And it now just, it sits on like my table just for me, where I can just look at it and remind myself of that event. And just there's so much representation in the pine cone as well. And you can research that all day long, whether it's tied with Catholicism and the Pope or ancient Egypt. And really that's what we're, I haven't really gone down like these UFO rabbit holes. What these experiences have led me down, it's like the spiritual rabbit hole, I guess, and has led me to principles, Hermeticism and Gnosticism, Samadhi, you know, all these concepts that are in these different religions or belief systems that tell the same story. And that's a story, I believe, that I was being told by my father and by these experiences with these lights that I had, and especially that night out there at my father's shrine. So my story in a nutshell, I would just, to give any like parting words or ending words about it, I would just say that, you know, anybody that interested in this sort of a thing or subject or trying to figure out what more is there to life, you know, research these things, research Gnosticism and Hermeticism, and look for that common thread that has been woven through all religion and belief systems and culture. And that type of knowledge is something that just isn't taught. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if it's because of how spirituality is turned into religious belief systems, or it's really secular. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. But it is, you know, in my mind, without a doubt, my experiences at least, and experiences of others, like again, like the fellow Christopher Bledsoe, like there is spiritual aspect to this phenomenon, at least for a good portion of people that have experienced things like this. And whether that's things in the dream state or things that you're seeing in the actual physical world, there is something there, and it should be looked at and not disregarded. So when you have these dreams of your loved ones, or when you have these synchronicities in your life that you just can't ignore, things that can't be explained with science, really. There's some things aren't meant to be explained. Maybe we aren't supposed to know the whole picture. There's some different quotes that talk about what is a God? What is God when you can explain him? Or what is the Tao that can be explained? You can't explain it. There's a greatness there that really is unexplainable. And that's part of the beauty of it. I think the most important thing is just knowing that there is a connection between not just life and death and that, but there's a connection between all of us, between you and me. There's an energy that runs through us all. And yes, that could somewhat be, they're starting to explore actually, you know, these sort of subjects with quantum entanglement and the quantum field, the feeling of field consciousness being connected to everything, or samadhi. And Gnosticism, it's gnosis. There is this thread, not only that's woven through culture, but it's woven through spirituality, and it's woven through each one of us connecting each one of us together. And the sooner that we can figure that out as a species, as humanity, the sooner we can free ourselves from the confines that and the restrictions that have been put upon us by maybe the powers that be, forces that are out of our control, yet want control. And this is the key out. This is the key. So I'll leave you with that. Look for your key.
That's wonderful, Indy. You know, the trauma of grief is something that we all have to go through sooner or later. And yeah. I'm a firm believer in, when it comes to the afterlife, that when our loved ones do pass, they do keep an eye on us. They do come back. They do prompt us, sometimes put us on the right path and in a certain direction. Do you think that these visits in your dreams helped you with the grief you're going through? Because you were evidently very close to your father.
Oh, yes. And Absolutely. It definitely helped me. Like, when I found that marble that next morning, I stopped waking up every day and crying. I firmly then believed that there is no death, you know, there is no death. So when having those dreams and having those visits and then having like real world physical validation to accompany it, it convinced me and it made me a believer in something that I had never really tried to put much thought into because it scared me. I had never wanted to think about it. And the fact that, you know, I would wake up every day crying in grief and that that was all just dashed away by these visits and by physical validation, it absolutely, yes, helped me immensely through my grief. And that is another thing I've told a few people of this, and I've had some, if not all of them, tell me that they had similar experiences when they had a loved one pass too, where they'd come from through a dream and they just dismissed it. And these are like pretty conservative folks, some of them at least, that have told me this. And my story, just telling them that, it gave them pause and they thought, maybe there is something more to my own experience that I had. Maybe then that was my mother or father, or maybe that was my son and daughter that actually came to me in my dream. And to tell me the same thing, there is no death. There is no death. And I'm always here with you. So yes, I absolutely do think so, Nick.
My mother last year, she's got this watch, and she's had this watch for years, and she's always misplacing stuff. She's at the age now where she forgets where everything is.
Yeah.
She had lost this watch for a good couple of weeks, I think it was. And she was telling me, you know, she had this dream, and a grandparent had come to her in the night and told her exactly where the watch was. And the next day, you know, she went to look in that location, and sure enough, that's where it was. So
yeah,
it's very easy for people to dismiss things like this by saying, it was just a dream.
Right.
This person was in your thoughts. They made it into your dreams. I don't believe that. You know, it's not something I've ever really subscribed to.
Mm-hmm.
When someone passes, people do want a sign that they're still around. And I don't think they're always able to close doors and knock on tables and move stuff around. I think coming through dreams is probably the easiest way. And I'm sure there are hundreds, if not thousands, of listeners out there which have had these same dreams where they've had a visit from a loved one. So
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, that's absolutely. And that's a really good point that you just made. It's not that easy for them to knock something over on the table or, you know, make sounds to give you a sign. But coming through that dream state, there's something happening in our brains. And there's science that's behind that itself. And that's the easiest gateway. And that's the easiest door for them to come through to tell you, hey, we're still here. We're still connected. This connection does not die. So absolutely.
There is 100% a spiritual side of all this. Your experiences after with the lights, this wasn't something which began before your father's death. This all happened after.
Yes. Yep. Correct. It all happened after. Yeah. And that was, you know, again, like at first the dreams with him and then dreams with him and these ships in the sky and me just looking behind my shoulder and saying, is it real, Dad? Nods his head yes and smiles. And then that's when these lights and that contact initiated. Oh yeah. And that brings me back to something else that I had read in Chris Bledsoe's book, that book UFO God, when he was talking to that NASA scientist. I think his name was Hal. And he had asked him, oh wait, maybe this was from a podcast he was in. It might not have been in his book. So he had asked this guy, like, what do you think this is? What do you think the lights are? And the scientist from NASA, like high level, like top secret sort of dude, you know, Chris, I think it's your family. I think it's your family that have passed on. So there is some sort of absolute connection with you know, again, like, I'm not going to try to discredit anybody that says, you know, they saw physical craft or were abducted and brought onto a craft at all. You know, I believe those people. I believe people that had experiences like that. That's what they have. But I also 100% know that there is these lights that some people see. And Chris Bledsoe, like, he films this stuff all the time too and posts it. I don't ever post mine just because I've always been scared of, like, ridicule or criticism. But I know for sure that there is a connection as well, not only because of how it coincided with the dreams after I started having these dreams with my dad and that experience out there at his shrine where I found his body, where I had those, that intense, crazy experience. But there's, like, some psychological consciousness connection, because there have been other people I've talked to as well that have said, you know, I got this sudden urge to just go outside and look at the sky. And then there is this light that I cannot explain. And so that tells me that there is a connection between the person's consciousness and whatever that phenomena, that light is. So that's where I think, you know, this isn't just a story about me and my dreams and these lights, but it's just a lot of people have had, yeah, not just dreams with their loved ones, but then these experiences with lights in the sky that they can't really explain and that they've felt some sort of connection to. You know what I mean?
There is, yeah, there is 100% a connection. And this is one of the reasons why I have the subjects I do on this podcast, is because I do think they're all interwoven in one way or another, because there are so many different connections and overlaps that we see.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are seeing these lights. My inbox is every week is full of people telling me what they're seeing.
That's amazing. And yeah, I totally believe that. Yeah, that's actually heartening to hear. And it seems like, do you think, you know, this is something that might be, like, increasing right now? Or do you think that this is something that's always been, but we just aren't noticing it? Or do you actually think that there is, like, an increase, an uptick in people having these experiences or connections with these lights?
People have always had these experiences. I think a lot of it, more people are definitely taking note. More are stopping and thinking, well, there's definitely something in this. There's definitely something in this subject. Even though to a degree that, you know, there is still ridicule with the subject, but that's changing. That is changing so much now. So many people are now coming and listening that they wouldn't have listened before. People are noticing more. They're starting to think that, yeah, we are all connected. There's more things in life that we don't understand. And this is something we should be looking at.
Yeah. That's where my mind was going with it too. I think this is something that's always been there, but people are just starting to take more notice and they're starting to note it and pay attention more. And again, like you said, this is coming out more, becoming more accepted that these things happen, and it's getting out more in the mainstream, which is causing, you know, people to, like, come to your show and listen. And then look up at the sky and see what you see.
You know, when it comes to UFOs and all that, it stretches right back in our past.
Yeah.
It's easy to look at as being something that's physical, but the data doesn't suggest that. The physical side of it, that, you know, the old nuts and bolts, it's easier for people to absorb, and the conscious side of it is a little bit more difficult. There is so much of this science we do not understand.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head right there with that one. Yep.
Yeah, there's just simply so much we don't know. So you have to look at the subject with an extremely open mind. Mm. Just about anything is possible.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And yeah, it really does make me wonder sometimes, because, you know, getting involved with, like, looking into people like Jacques Vallée and Diana Pasulka, and just like Jacques Vallée particularly, he has all these books on angels and fallen angels, and it makes you wonder where the root of those sorts of belief systems began. Was it these sort of sightings and interactions with these ethereal spiritual connections with these lights? That is a way for people to be able to, I guess, wrap their mind around it and kind of explain it through like a religious sort of context. And again, like they didn't say that they were craft back then, nuts and bolts. They said that they were like human being-ish figures, angels, you know, and that was maybe an easier way for people to fathom that the phenomena. So yeah, there's so much to unpack with this whole subject. Sometimes I could just get, I can really get lost in it. It's so deep.
And you're still seeing these lights?
Yeah, yeah. I just saw one probably about, you know, a week ago, maybe. It rains a lot here. So our weather during the winter, it's like almost constantly raining or foggy and cloudy every night. But any night I do have clear night, I go out because I still do, you know, my little farm chores every night, and whether it's raining or not. And I've seen them so much, it's not that big of a deal. Like I don't, oh, it's clear night, I'm going to go sit outside for 2-3 hours. I think that's, you know, what Chris Bledsoe, he'll go out and just sit and watch. I've had this understanding with it and said, like, hey, I know you're real. I know there's no death. Like, you don't need to prove yourself to me. And that's really do how I feel. Like, at this point, there's not much more you need to show me to convince me. But every once in a while, I will. The show I was telling you, I went and did, starting to get a bad feeling about it. And which maybe may have been something I should have listened to, but things happen for a reason, right? So I had gone outside because it was a clear night. And I'm like, hey, you know, I haven't seen you lights here since late December was the last really good one I saw. And I'm like, if I'm not supposed to be doing this show, or if I am, you know, I'm not sure what to do. But if I am, just give me a sign. And then literally within like a minute, one appeared over my head, and it took about 3.5 minutes to go across the whole sky. And then it was low too. So it was passing. At one point it passed under the clouds because I could see like the Pleiades constellation, just barely could see it through a cloud. And I could see this thing was underneath, just super bright. And then, so after that had gone away, okay, well, that was a sign. And I'm looking up at the sky. And again, right where I'm looking, then I see what must have been a meteorite right in front of my face, just streak across the sky. And I'm like, okay, well, that's another sign. And then I turn to the right and I'm looking at Jupiter, which is, you know, really bright this time of year here. And right under it, there is just this, and this is something I see often, and my wife has seen it, and my children have seen it with me. Because in the summertime, we will go out and lay out and just watch. And we see this, we see stuff all the time. It's amazing what you see when you just look. And so right under Jupiter, I'm looking out to my right, and then I just see this brilliant flash of burst of light, just like this blast of light, like a pulse of light. And I don't know what that is. That's something I know Chris Bledsoe said he does see those too. So, but otherwise I haven't seen anything else science or technology wise that can explain that, you know, at all. And so, yeah, that was just, gosh, what day is today? That was probably a week ago that I saw that happened. And I took a video of the light that I saw traveling across the sky. The one that first appeared. So yeah, I'm still seeing these. It's fun. And I do think that there's a connection with human consciousness and just being open to it. I think the more you're open to it, the more likely you're going to invite it in. And so just like I am, you know, when I want to see it and I asking these questions in my mind, I feel like they give me answers and I'm guided in a direction. And also just after, you know, this whole thing just started happening with me, so many amazing things have been happening in my life. Like I told you, I'm pretty involved in my community now. I'm like this public person. And I had always, my whole life, I was so shy and just had such a hard time with putting myself out there. And I don't know what changed in me, but something dramatic has changed in me, and it's for the better. And it's helped me see like no, Indy, you are a valued human being. You have value to give to the community, the planet. And I hope through people like you, you know, being able to just talk about this, I hope I can give something to more people and more people, to even humanity, you know, on a greater level. So yes, it's still continuing. I will be honest though, I don't have as many of the dreams with my father anymore. And I'm not sure why that is. I do still have some, but they're not as often. But what I have had actually happen recently, just in the last few weeks, for the first time, I started having dreams with my sister. And you'll get a trip out of this. Okay. So the first one I had, maybe like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I wrote about it in my journal. I started journaling through all this too, right? So I wrote about this dream in my journal. I was on some beach, and for some reason this is where my sister lives, right? And then boom, my sister appears. Her name was Chandra. Beautiful red hair. She's a beautiful, beautiful lady. And I'm like, it is where Chandra lives. And so we're just standing with each other and we're walking around on her beach. And then she leads me up a hill. And on this hill, there's like this landing, you know, or a flat area where we can gaze up to a wide open sky. And the sky is just full of stars, right? And then across the sky starts flying this translucent bird, a massive translucent bird. And I'm just, wow, what kind of bird is this? What is that bird? And as it's getting closer, it starts getting like, you know, rainbow colored on its edges. And mind you, it's translucent stone. You could like see other stars through it. And then it just took the color of a peacock. And I'm like, it's a peacock, right? And, you know, so that was the dream. And so I wake up the next day. It was a nice day. It was one of the rare clear days we've had in this last month. And so that night I did, you know, a little star watching, right? And I have my constellation app, and, you know, I'm not expecting to see like any orbs or lights or anything. I'm just checking out the stars, right? And the planets, and checking, you know, where everything's lined up at. And I really enjoy being like oriented with the stars, understanding how they travel across the sky and change throughout the seasons and year, right? Okay, so I shut down the app, and, you know, I make dinner every night for my family. So I'm like, okay, I got to get in and make dinner. I get in and start making dinner. I got dinner on, and I sit down on the couch next to my son, and I pull my phone out and I open it up, and I had forgotten that I had left that constellation map up. And so I'm sitting on the couch with my phone pointing down on the ground. And so it opens up, and with the constellation map looking straight down on the other side of the earth. And what is it opened up to? It's opened up to, the first word I see is peacock. And the second one I see is Indus, INDUS. And that Indus means the same thing my name means, Indica, which is of India, and then a peacock. So I'm like, okay, that's one of those synchronicities, right? At least in my mind that was. I'm like, okay, I just had that dream last night, and now I'm seeing peacock and my name basically right there on the star map when I just randomly open up, you know. And I'm like, okay, so that was my you know, felt like validation from my sister. Finally, I got to have a dream with her. So yeah, man, it's still, you know, it's a crazy, crazy life in a crazy, crazy, crazy universe. I love it. I love it though. Yeah.
Coincidences and synchronicities. Absolutely. You know, we are all on a path, Indy. Sometimes these experiences, they put us in a direction. In your case, you were saying, you know, you're a different person than you were. And the frequency of your visits from your father in your dreams now have slowly subsided. A case of the job's done.
Yes.
I'm sure your account has touched and struck home with a lot of people out there. And definitely keep us updated and let us know if anything happens in the future, okay? And good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'll definitely stay in contact with you. And if you ever want to come see the Redwoods, please do, buddy. I got a place for you guys to stay. You just need to find a cat.
Like I said, we might just take you up on that.
Dude, that felt so good just talking to you about that whole thing, Nick. I really, really appreciate you. It felt really good. Thank you.
No problem. No problem, Indy. Indy, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you. And thanks for having me, Nick. Again, I really appreciate you, man.
Keep in contact and we will speak soon, Indy, okay? And you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care, brother. Bye for now.
Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Indy for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.